Welcome to the Strange and Unusual Book Club, where we read and discuss horror, science fiction, and fantasy novels. I'm Kayla.
I'm Haley, and today we're comparing Francis Lawrence's 2025 film, The Long Walk, with the 1979 novel written by Stephen King as Richard Bachman. We're going to be talking about the differences between the book and the movie, and how we feel about these things, and ultimately which one we thought was better. So the director, Francis Lawrence, he is the guy who directed all the Hunger Games movies after the first one.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of, you know, similar in that they're both dystopian. Also, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in those movies, and his son, Cooper Hoffman, is in this movie.
He's our main character.
I know.
Raymond Garrity. Also, Francis Lawrence directed 1,000 music videos.
Like what?
Like Beyonce, Run the World.
Lady Who Runs the World?
Girls. Audio Slave, Black Eyed Peas, a bunch of Janet Jackson, Incubus, Jennifer Lopez, OK Go. Like, everybody. 1,000.
That's amazing. He should have called in more favors for the soundtrack.
I agree. I agree with that.
And who stars in this puppy?
As we said, Cooper Hoffman.
You may have seen him in Licorice Pizza.
Mark Hamill plays the major.
Was he in anything?
You might know him from a little indie film called Star Wars.
Interesting.
You may have heard of him. We also have David Johnson.
I was really excited to see him in this because I absolutely adored him in Alien Romulus.
We had a couple of other young up-and-coming actors who I don't really know from a lot.
But I like that we have a really nice, diverse cast. That's something we didn't get in the book. Something else that the movie did was it really gives us more backstory on the world, more world building. This movie tells us that there was a war. This is something that was not in the book. And they say people got very lazy. So the walk was to help you to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and I don't know. But it's just propaganda is what it is. What they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to watch what I assume is the only thing on television.
Yeah.
And you're seeing your young Americans being shot on television. And it's not so much to motivate you. It's to scare you, to show you how much control the government has.
Yeah, to incite fear.
Like the book, where if you spoke badly about the walk, you would get squatted. I'm assuming you're killed. We don't know for sure. But the movie, a lot of what they call the old ways are banned. And Garrity's dad made the decision to keep those things. And he spoke out against the walk. And in this, not only do they come for his father, but it's the major who takes his father out.
He makes the decision. The major basically gives him an ultimatum. He's like, okay, you're in front of your family. Are you going to toe the line or are you going to be an example? And his dad decides to be an example in the opposite way that the major really means it. And so he says no.
Knowing he's going to get shot.
Yeah.
So Garrity has joined the walk because he wants to avenge his father. From the very beginning, he has a very low opinion of the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wants to win so that he can ask for one of the soldiers' carbine rifles mm-hmm. and then use that to shoot the major.
Yeah. His motivation is vengeance.
Another really big change is McVreeze.
Mm-hmm.
McVreeze's backstory behind his scar is very different. In the movie, he is a sweetheart. He is just a poor kid who has been bounced from foster home to foster home, and really all he wants is a family. And essentially, he gets that in this. He gets brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he still is the same in that he doesn't have anything to lose. He only has something to gain, but different enough that they were more relatable than they were in the book, like more likable.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with that. The characters in the book are very antagonistic towards each other, and they're also very horny, like weirdly horny from the beginning. So there's notable differences. We do see a girl holding a sign for Garrity in the beginning. He's kind of uncomfortable and he doesn't do anything. In the book, he goes up and he kisses her. The book, he also has a girlfriend waiting for him, whereas in the movie, he says he had a girlfriend, but he broke up with her before the walk.
Yeah, she's not a part of the story in the film at all, really.
I thought that was a really smart move because it really helped focus on the relationship between him and his mom. In the book, he didn't seem to have a lot of respect for his mother. And in this, his mom is his whole world. She's all he has left. And I think initially he thinks he's doing this for her, but he realizes that this was like probably the most selfish thing he could have done to his mother.
Yeah, after what she went through, you know, with him, them losing his father, and then he's deciding to avenge him in the way that is the most hurtful for her.
Yeah, she's going to have to see her son walk to his death. Mm-hmm. So it is very different in that there aren't really cameras or crowds until they get to, I think, the last two people mm-hmm. in the book. That's throughout the whole walk. The walk itself, there's just a lot of other things about it that are a lot more realistic. Essentially, in the book, they have to do 4 miles per hour.
Yeah.
That is a brisk walk for 5 days. That just doesn't make sense. And I guess they asked Stephen King, and that was one of the things he asked them to change. Mm-hmm. So he changed that. So now it's 3 miles.
Much more reasonable.
Another change they made, and I assume it's probably the same kind of thing where it just didn't make sense. There is a character who in the book rips out his own throat with his hands.
Yeah.
And I was just like, how is that possible? Like, did he just have really sharp claws or something? Because skin is, it's really hard to rip through your skin. Yeah,
you can only do so much.
So that same character does it with a spoon. And I was like, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
So much more sense.
I did wonder, I was like, what are they going to do there? Because I even whispered to Doug when that part happened. I was like, in the book, he rips his throat out. But I was like, I don't know. I know he's going to die here, but how are they going to do it?
I think another smart decision they made is they cut it down from 100 walkers to 50. Mm-hmm. I did see something about how it would cost a lot more just to have all those extras. But I also think it just helped to make us focus on them more.
I mean, I would say that in the book with 100 boys, knowing that 99 people are going to die, for me, made it all that more foreboding. Where, I don't know, I mean, 49 people dying is still a lot of people to die. It's too many people, but it didn't have the same weight for me.
For me, the other thing was the sound design of the movie is incredible. I saw this in the cinema, and every time someone got shot, I jumped. And I do not jump.
Same.
And I think if I had to hear that 99 times, I don't know if I could have made it. Yeah. I was already on the edge of my seat. So what we had was more than enough.
Yeah. I understand the change, like the need for the change. It just weighed differently.
I also love that we got to hear the fulfillment of some of the wishes. There are only two winners we hear about in the book, and they both die. So part of me was wondering, do they even give them the wish? And they address that because McFreeze makes a joke like, what if they just shoot you? I love that the movie told us that a guy asked for an elephant and he rode it home.
And he rode it home. I'd ride an elephant home too. There's a part where they're talking about what they would want for their wish. And Pete McFreeze says that he wants an orange Julius. And I'm not joking. A week before that, Doug and I were walking through the mall. And I said, you know what I would really go for right now is an orange Julius. But you can't even get them anywhere anymore. Where can you get an orange Julius?
I have no idea. I also love that earlier, he also said he would make it to where two people could win mm-hmm. the walk. And I thought that was a beautiful wish. Because it's not even one that he would really benefit from. Mm-hmm. For him to win, his friends would all be dead. He's making a wish for future people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really selfless.
So I think something that makes the characters in the movie so much more likable than the ones in the book, especially Garrity, is every time one of the boys is really struggling or suffering, Garrity is right there trying to help him, even though it's not in his best interest. Mm-hmm. Starting with the very first one, Curly, nobody does anything in the book. It's almost like they're kind of shocked that it's even happening, even though they should know. I mean, they know what happens in the long walk.
Yeah.
They did a good job of showing how different boys react. You see how people just take off running.
Yeah.
Which happened in the book. It was a little more effective, I think, in the book because they could run into the crowd.
And the forest. One of them ran into the forest in the book. And in the film, one of them just ran into a building. And then another one was just running. It was just a field.
Yeah, there was one in the book where he thinks he's being really sly. He's the first one to really try it. And the guys all notice he's doing it, but they don't think the soldiers notice. And he's kind of edging to the side. And the moment he goes over the line, they shoot him.
Yep. It's like, that's what they're trained to do.
The scene with Barkovich and Rank is a lot different in the movie, too. So in the book, I defend Barkovich fully. We have no idea what was said between the two of them. And then Rank starts pushing him around. I don't think anything he said, Barkovich said, mm-hmm. would merit another person being violent towards him. However, Barkovich is being a dick in the movie.
Yes, he
is. It's a little more understandable because he's being very relentless. He's kind of got Rank pushed off to the front where he can't get away from him as easy. And he's being very antagonistic. And so it's a little more understandable why they accuse him of being a murderer.
Yeah, I feel like it's also earlier on in the film, so less people have died. It's a fresher death.
The other thing is it comes after Barkovich was making fun of the guy having a seizure. So yes, they had a lot more reason to hate Barkovich.
Absolutely.
In the movie, as opposed to the book, where the boys who are mad at Barkovich are just as bad as Barkovich. I do like Barkovich. I feel sympathy for mm-hmm. that character. And I think Christopher Plummer is...
Oh, he was so cute.
An adorable yeah. actor. And I felt really bad for him. Because you can tell the moment Rank dies that he didn't want that. Mm-hmm. You can see it in his face. And you can see he's broken up about it. And he's really struggling with it. And then we get a scene that was also in the book where he tells Garrity, you know, I need friends. And I just got off on the wrong foot with you guys. In the book, Garrity is... so cruel
yeah.
and brutal. And in the movie, Garrity's like, yeah, we can be friends. You can tell he still doesn't really like Barkovich, but he's just trying to keep the kid moving along. He tells him he's going to put in a good word with the other guys and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he really tries.
Garrity is much more of like a morale booster. He still really wants to be like the source of support for these boys.
Despite the fact that he wants all these boys to succeed, he just sees the world as being a very dour place, a very bleak place. The only thing he could possibly want from it is revenge. And that's where McReese comes in, where he genuinely does see beauty in this world that is really not beautiful. It's very depressing.
Yeah. And McReese has more of a reason than anybody, I feel like, to really hate the world that they're living in. But he chooses to see the beauty in things, and he really brings Garrity around to that, and that it's not just about vengeance and hate and anger.
Another thing that's really different is in the book, they do make this musketeer comment, but it's more sarcastically. They're like, yeah, we're not going to be musketeers. Like, we're in a competition to go against each other. Mm-hmm. Whereas it's really sweet when McFreeze is like, you know, I know we're against each other, but I like you guys.
Yeah.
One, McFreeze hates Olsen in the book, like mm-hmm. truly hates him. He was not part of any group of theirs. I would say it was more like Garrity, McFreeze, Pearson, and Art.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because Pearson tries to get in the group in the movie. He's like, yeah, not you. That part had me laughing.
Not you. Get out of here.
We only have time for so many friends.
Oh my goodness.
Scram is not in the movie.
No, at all.
They kind of combined him with Olsen, mm-hmm. who after the fact, they mentioned that Olsen had a wife. I don't think that means quite as much as when the character was alive, because I think that's one of the things that was really fascinating to Garrity in the book. He couldn't believe that somebody his age would be married.
Yeah, he was really young. In the book, Scram says how he was like 14 and he just didn't see the point in school anymore. So he dropped out and he goes to work and he meets this girl and they get married and they have a baby on the way. And he's only like 17. He's very, very young. And then in the film with Olsen, just after he dies, they're like, oh yeah, did anybody know he had a wife?
Yeah, it didn't really have as much weight, though they do the same thing in the movie as they do in the book, where they all agree they're going to give some money to his wife.
Yeah. Whoever wins in the end will take care of his wife.
Wasn't his wife Clementine?
Clementine.
That's so cute.
And then they sing the song the whole way through.
That was pretty cute. The other character who gets kind of combined with Scram is Stebbins. So Scram in the book, and one thing that is kind of lost in the movie is they talk about the Vegas odds on mm-hmm. them because people are betting on them. Scram is the favorite to win. He's in great shape. He actually prepared physically for it. And obviously he really wants it. He has a wife at home.
Yeah.
But then Scram gets sick. Mm-hmm. And that's what takes him out. It's really unfortunate and unfair.
Yeah, he gets a cold.
Yeah, it's just a cold. Whereas they combine him with Stebbins in the movie, mm-hmm. and he seems to have something even worse, like pneumonia or something.
I think in the book, it gets to pneumonia, mm-hmm. but it just starts, he's just congested, and he has a cold, and he's like this the whole time.
It's extra adorable in the audiobook, I will say.
I bet.
But yeah, they combine him with Stebbins, and I don't know if I agree with that decision, because Stebbins is a foil for Garrity, and he keeps telling himself, as long as he can just beat Stebbins, mm-hmm. and that is, I think, the whole reason Garrity wins. Mm-hmm. You know, as Stebbins says in both book and movie, he is the rabbit. He is the one keeping the pace. And the fact that he makes it all the way to the end is why Garrity ultimately wins. Whereas in the movie, Stebbins gets sick about halfway through the film. Mm-hmm. And so nobody thinks he's going to actually make it.
Yeah.
He made it way further than I think anybody would have guessed.
Yes, I agree with that. I don't think that they should have given him the cold in the movie, but somebody had to have one, I guess. Okay, so now it's time for our top five segment, because on every episode of the Strange and Unusual Book Club, we give a top five list of something, depending on what we're talking about. Today, we're going to give you our top five dystopian movies. These are not in order, but these are my top five. Number one, just the first one in the list, not necessarily number one, Blade Runner, classic. Love it. Fall asleep to it regularly. The music alone is beautiful. Amazing. Planet of the Apes.
Such a good one.
So good. I love it. I love them all. Doug and I went through a marathon of every single Planet of the Apes movie, and I had such a good time. Snowpiercer is a favorite. It's pretty heavy. It's pretty dark, but I love it. I don't know why. Why do I love it so much?
Captain America's on a train?
That's true, but he eats babies. Yeah, so not great, but he's still hot. I don't know. You may or may not find this to be a dystopian movie, but Alien. I think if I had to put these in order, that would be number one, actually. And then
your dog's name is Ripley.
My dog's name is Ripley. Yeah, because I love it so much. And then Love and Monsters is one of my favorites. That's a newer one. It's this boy coming up in this world where I don't even know exactly why, but like there's big animals, like big bugs, all kinds of monsters out there. And he is going to go look for the girl that he had a crush on. And he really finds himself along the way. It's good. Okay, your turn.
All right. So I'm going to start with Idiocracy because I think about that movie all the time. The sad part about Idiocracy is I feel like it's coming true.
Yeah.
But it is really funny. It's rare to find a funny dystopian movie, which brings me to the next one, which is also funny, Demolition Man. I love Demolition Man. That's a dystopian action movie with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes in it. It's just super cute. I really love that movie. Okay, number three, we're going to change course here completely and go with The Road. So that is based on a Cormac McCarthy book, which I'm sad to say I haven't read the book. I own the book. I need to read the book. But the movie is really good. It's got Viggo Mortensen in it. Obviously, you adore him.
I do.
The Lord of the Rings's.
Aragorn.
This is a world that's gone very kind of Mad Max. It's really, really dark. People are so desperate for food that they are cannibalizing each other. It's a really, really ugly world. But this relationship between this father and this son is really beautiful. And I really should read the book. So number two is Battle Royale. It's incredible. It's a Japanese film, and in this dystopian world, they pick a random middle school class every year, and they take them on what they think is going to be a field trip, and they have them fight to the death.
Yeah.
And then number one is my same number one for the books. I'm going to say The Hunger Games. It's one of the best adaptations. It's just fantastic. And same director as this. So that is my... Oh, and then I'm going to give an honorable mention to The Matrix, because The Matrix... So let's talk about just our general thoughts and feelings about the movie and how it compares to the book.
Yeah. So I think I should have given more time between finishing the book and watching the movie. I was so engrossed in the novel of The Long Walk and feeling the despair that when we watched the movie, I was underwhelmed. I just didn't feel like it was dark enough, like they weren't desperate enough. And so I think if I go back, I might get more out of it. But my initial thoughts were it wasn't dark enough. So I liked it, but I don't think I liked it as much as I could have. Just coming so fresh off of the book and all the emotions that I felt, it just wasn't enough.
I really appreciated the really nice scenes between the boys.
Yeah.
I mean, it definitely is horrifying, but it has that element of brotherhood. And I think that was what made the movie really special.
Yeah.
Like the last five kind of go out on their own terms. And I liked that for them because I liked these boys. And I liked that the walk didn't get to beat them. I thought the last five boys won.
Yeah.
Because the walk didn't get them. It didn't take their dignity. It's like that freaking song, you know? Art's like, you know, it's been really great walking with you guys. And he went back there and he went out on his own feet.
Yeah.
Stebbins too. He didn't die in a panic like in the book. He was sick. And then finally he's like, you know what? I'm glad the last two are you. And I was like, you know what? I am too. Because really, especially the movie was really about McFries and Garrity. And they should be the last two.
Yeah.
The movie, more so than the book, is really about systemic oppression.
Yeah.
And the thing is with systemic oppression, one amazing person isn't going to fix it in a single battle. It's just not going to happen. That's not reality. And the world we live in right now, to show us that in a movie would be pandering and it would be distasteful.
Yeah, I agree.
And this movie showed how you can essentially stand up even when you are powerless. These boys have absolutely no power. But I loved how they went from the beginning where Olsen is still ripped and rearing to go and all that, toward the end where they are talking shit about the major and he's like, yeah, boys, you got sack. And like, I loved that so much because they get the courage to stand up for themselves. Yeah. Like they realize that that's all that's important, is that they are genuinely them. Yeah. That they are not broken, that they are not stripped down, and that they found another way out. The options are not just walk or die.
Yeah.
You can choose to die on your terms. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool. And you got that in the movie, but you didn't get that in the book. But again, the book is about different stuff. We have a whole episode on that. And I think those themes are also really important.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as something for mainstream audiences, something that more people are going to connect to, the movie has themes that are more relevant to the world we live in today and are a lot more accessible to people. I also liked, because it's like you said, it's not dark in some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
By having this friendship, it's not going to be as dark.
Mm-hmm.
And it could have easily gone in a bad direction.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the movie, as we both know.
Yes.
McFreeze, they're in this big crowd and it's actually kind of scary. I thought it was actually really effective then, because now we have this crowd and you see like,
mm-hmm.
it's very overwhelming. And mm-hmm. there's fireworks and there's all this noise.
Mm-hmm.
And McFreeze, with a smile on his face, sits down.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you go home to your mom. And then Garrity is like, just walk with me for a little bit longer, buddy. And he does it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then Garrity sits down. So this is genius for a couple different reasons.
Yeah.
One, had Garrity won, he could not in good conscience kill the major, which is what he signed up to do.
Yep.
Because McFreeze told him to go back to your mom and see the good in the world.
Yeah.
So it would show that he didn't learn anything. However, he does embrace love. He loves McFreeze. That is his brother. That is his friend. And he's going to give him a chance. And he says, because I don't see the light like you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks, essentially, McFreeze has a better chance at changing the world.
Yeah.
This is a very YA dystopian type point of view, that one person can make a big difference. And one person can make a spark.
Yeah.
In reality, one person cannot overthrow a damaged structure by themselves. And unfortunately, as much as we love these movies where it's like love saves the day, that is not reality. I think you need a bit of both. You need a bit of that anger
mm-hmm.
that Garrity had.
Yes.
You need that. But you can't just have anger. You're going to forget what the point of doing it is.
Yes, I agree.
You need that love and optimism that McFreeze has. And the only way we were going to get that is at the end, when Garrity is killed,
mm-hmm.
McFreeze does go for the revenge, but he doesn't do it out of anger. He's doing it for his friend, because that's what his friend wanted. He's getting vengeance for him. It's a combination of that anger and that love.
Yeah.
And no, he's not happy at the end. It's not a victory to celebrate, but it shouldn't be, because that's not how it is in our world. It's an ongoing walk. There is no finish line. And I thought that was a lot more true and less pandering than like a happy ending where he wishes for something, because nothing would be enough. Nothing would feel like it wasn't talking down to us.
No, I agree. I also like that part. I felt like it gave Garrity a little bit more agency over his own story, where in the book, you know, he just is walking. He doesn't really have a reason or a purpose. He kind of does, but not so much. And he's just going. You know, a lot of it was out of spite for Stebbins to make sure he beat him. But in the movie, he makes that choice for his friend. Like you said, he sees what McVries sees in the world and how it's different than what he has to offer. And he's like, this is something I can do for my friend and give him the opportunity to go on and do great things.
I've heard people say that they thought the ending was too cut and dry, and I firmly disagree with that. I think it was very true to the spirit of the ending of the book without directly copying it. The book ending is very ambiguous. We don't entirely know, did Garrity live? Did Garrity die? Who is this dark figure? The movie, I actually think, is pretty ambiguous too. You can look at it in a number of different ways. Notably, when McVries walks away, My first inclination is that he was immediately shot because we do not see any fireworks. We no longer hear the crowd or all the sirens. That street was absolutely packed. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it's now completely empty and silent tells me that he's probably dead and he's walking into the afterlife.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Mm-hmm. My other thought is that he did something so big that it's actually quieted the crowd and stuff. And maybe they've actually seen the violence of everything that they've experienced for what it is.
Yeah.
And maybe they're so shocked that you have this kind of weird, surreal, quiet moment. Mm-hmm. But McFreeze knows that it's not over.
Yeah.
You got to keep walking. You got to keep going forward.
Yeah. He like opened everybody's eyes to the horrors of what the Long Walk really is. Yeah, I love that.
So either way, I think it's pretty interesting. What did you think of the ending?
I liked it. I guess I didn't really think about it in that way, but I mean, it was eerily quiet. And I was like, well, there was no consequences to his actions. What's going on here? So the not knowing is pretty cool. I like that.
I also think the fact that he turned his back on them, whether he's alive or dead, that is also another form of resistance, of standing up.
Just making your decision and moving forward.
That's a big theme of this movie, is standing up for what you believe in. Mm-hmm. That's what we see with Garrity's dad. That's what we see with the boys when they're talking shit about the major, which is far more effective than blowing raspberries.
Yeah.
The boys really do stand up, even though they know it means death. Like, I think it's better to go out being yourself and being authentic to what you believe in than to die for a pointless cause.
The Long Walk in the film is definitely more a symbol of systemic oppression. Those themes are in the book as well, but not to the same degree.
Yeah, I think ultimately that's what I took away from it is even if somebody kills you or whatever or takes away your freedoms, they don't have to take away your dignity, your spirit, and what makes you you. Not unless you let them. You know, you don't have to let them break you down. And that's a form of rebellion. And that's how things ultimately change. It's a little bit at a time. And that's something all of us can do. We may not be the chosen one. We may not have superpowers, but we can decide to say no.
Yeah.
And we can decide to say that's wrong. And we can decide to say, I'm not going to support that or stand by and watch this.
And I think even something as small as building a friendship can be rebellious. These boys are taking this walk and only one of them gets to win. It would be really easy to be like, I can't make friends. What's the point of making friends? But those friendships gave them the power and gave them the strength to make it as far as they did. And in McFree's case in the movie, to potentially have caused change for the world.
Well, and that's the thing. I think people are stronger together and in groups. I think the Long Walk is supposed to have everybody go out against each other. And I like that there's this message of friendship in it and this message of trying to see the good in the world, which is really, really important. You can't have blinders to the bad either. Yeah. I think you can accept what's wrong in the world, but still appreciate the things that you still have.
Yeah, and strength and support in the places that we can get it.
And the wonderful things that humans make and stuff, which they try to take away in the film, The Long Walk, like our art and our music and things like that are all things to be celebrated.
Absolutely. Our creative freedoms.
Exactly, which it seems like that was a bigger part of the movie where they're really just trying to squash all human creativity, all human identity, and just make this very bleak, very gray world without music, without art, without film, without books.
Yeah.
And those are all the things that add color to our lives.
Yeah. They give us something to talk about and experience the world through mediums that we wouldn't normally get to experience it through.
And they give us things to talk about like we're doing right now. We can talk about the things that we think are right and question things like we should. When you're only getting information from one source, like in The Long Walk from their government, you stop questioning things. And I think art, literature, films, they spark discussion and they help us to question what it is we believe in and what it is we like and help us to kind of figure ourselves out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You like hobbits.
I love hobbits.
And you wouldn't have known that if it wasn't for Mr. J.R.R. Tolkien.
It's true. How lucky am I to live in the same timeline as the hobbit? If I had been born 200 years earlier,
no hobbits.
Wouldn't have gotten the hobbit.
So yeah, sometimes the world sucks, but you've got hobbits. And I think that ultimately is the point.
Amen, sister. Hell yeah.
So comparing the length of the two, the book was 370 pages, which for Stephen King, that's a short story. And our movie is 108 minutes, which is wonderful. I am to the point where, like, if anything is over 2 hours, I just don't have time for it. Like, I really want to see Sinners, guys, but it's over 2 hours and I can't make the commitment yet. Not yet. I will.
You haven't seen Sinners yet?
Not yet, dude.
Oh my gosh, it's so
good. Who's got 2 hours?
Me do, when it's Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld.
I'll check it out. I will.
Gotta. It's very sexy.
This movie has an average of 3.7 on Letterboxd.
Yeah. It has a 7.4 on IMDb. It also has a tomato meter score of 89% and a popcorn meter of 85%.
So that's pretty good. That's above average. Yeah. Overall, people seem to be liking it. I know last I looked, it was certified fresh.
Yeah.
So what's up?
I think the people are digging it.
The people are digging it.
All right. Well, I had a couple of reviews that I saw that I wanted to share. So this one I found on Tomato Meter from Robbie Collin of the Daily Telegraph. He gave it 2 out of 5, which I maybe rate it higher than that. But anyways, what he said, and it just struck with me, he said, "It's not that the film doesn't work. Indeed, parts of it are rather good, but ultimately and fundamentally can't, given what it actually is." And I think that that just really speaks to, like, the buildup in the book and, like, the desperation that you feel. It just doesn't feel the same in a movie as it does in a book. So I just saved that one because I was like, oh, yeah, I see what you're saying there. And then I saved this other review from Letterboxd from Justin Waugh, and he gave it 4 stars. And he said, "We as a society simply have to make sure that Mr. Beast does not ever watch this film."
I mean, he did make Squid Games.
Yeah.
Austin Burke, who is on YouTube, but also Letterboxd, he gave it 4.5 stars. He says, "What starts as a familiar dystopian sci-fi tale with coming-of-age undertones evolves into something far deeper and more powerful than expected. The Long Walk stands tall as one of the year's finest films." And the last one was Mariana Neal from Impression Blend. She did not give it a star rating. She said, "You know those brutal movies that are really good, but you never want to see them again? Yeah, this is one of those." So I agreed with that, too. I actually do think I'd like to see this again because it's very heartbreaking, but it reminded me tonally of something like The Shawshank Redemption, which is brutal, but it's also very hopeful. And I think that's what makes people come back to it over and over again.
Yeah, I think I'm going to need to revisit again because I think I should have waited. I just needed more space, I think, to really appreciate the film for what it was trying to do versus the weight that I felt coming off of the book.
Movies are wonderful, but it's a different experience than a book where you're really kind of like the filmmaker there. You cast the characters, you determine the budget, you do the cinematography, you get to bring it to life in your imagination. Yeah. And I think going from a book to a film, it's almost like being in the head of somebody else as they read the book. Yeah. And that can be really hard.
It wasn't what I had in my head. Like I said, I felt the same way when we saw Cabin at the End of the World. Granted, they changed a lot in that film. It was definitely...
They completely changed the meaning of that film.
Yes, it was definitely not as heartbreaking as the book was. And I'm glad that they did that. But I still, it just was different.
I thought about that too, because at the end of Cabin at the End of the World, I mean, I liked the movie okay, but I was like, well, what the heck is that supposed to mean? Because the book had a lot of meaning. And the way they changed the ending, I was like, it's, I guess, happier, but it doesn't have any meaning. And I thought about it a lot. I couldn't come up with an answer for that one. But this one at first, I was like, okay, they changed it. So does that take away the meaning or does it mean something else? And my conclusion with this one is it means something else.
Yes, I definitely agree. It doesn't take away. It's not 1967 anymore. It's 2025. Our problems are vastly different than they were then. And so it has to change. You have to adapt to your audience.
I mean, the book was great on its own. So I think sometimes making a film that is a true adaptation, it doesn't have anything new to say. And especially with, like you said, the time difference, I think it was good that they changed a few things, you know, and gave us something more to think about.
Yeah.
So what did you give it?
Well, initially, like nothing.
You can give it whatever you want. You can dislike it. It's fine.
I think right now I'm going to go with a 3 out of 5. I reserve the right to change my mind.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
I mean, I was a young girl who thought that the Supergirl movie was the best thing ever and just blindly bought it as an adult. And I just gotta say, Kid Haley steered me wrong. So you always reserve the right to change your mind.
Wonderful. Thank you.
I gave it 4.5 stars. This is one of the best movies I saw this year. It is in my top 5. And I swear every gunshot just got me. And I felt like, honestly, more so than the book, I just felt like I was right there where it's like I just didn't want to hear another gunshot. I was just dreading it. And so, yeah, I was a big fan of this film. I highly recommend it. I do like the movie better. I think you said you like the book better.
I do like the book better.
They're both fantastic, though. You cannot go wrong with either one.
No. I think they're both important experiences, no matter what you prefer. I think they're both worthy of your time and attention. Yeah, good stuff. So you can find us on all the places, Goodreads, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, and our website, subcpodcast.com or strangeandunusualbookclub.com.
Share your thoughts on what we just talked about, The Long Walk, or make recommendations for books that you would like to read along with us in the future.
Yes, please.
Also on our website, you can see all of our upcoming books. Same thing with Goodreads. So hopefully you will read these books along with us and we can have just a cool discussion back and forth. I think it'll be super fun.
Yeah, I think the more opinions and input we get, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Debates.
Debates.
Bring the debates on.
Please tell us something different.
Yes.
And until the next chapter,
stay weird and keep reading.